So, my family has a ritual with the Teeter family. When they moved to Denver, we each had three kids at home, girl, boy, girl, and they were so close, and they were very close in age. So every Sunday night after church, we would go to Taco Bell because they had 59, 79, 99, like burritos, so it was cheap. And so we would all sit around Taco Bell for a couple hours and talk, and so we have a lot of fun memories together, and it's been great to be with you this weekend. So I feel like on Mother's Day we talk a lot about mothers and how great they are, and I feel like sometimes we should mention that there are at times mom fails. There are times when we don't do the right thing, so I'm going to tell you one of those little stories right now about me. My husband and I adopted three children when we were about 40, and they were 6, 7, and 9. And when they came to live with us, they were all super sensitive to anything sweet. They would go like from 0 to 80, just like that, if you gave them an Oreo. And so Bill and I would try to like monitor that and make sure they didn't get too much sugar or anything like that. And so one day I had gone to the grocery store and bought one of those big packages of double stuffed Oreos and had them on the island in the kitchen. And so Bill's like, "You better hide those." And I was like, "Well, I want to eat them." And he's like, "Well, the kids are right out there. You can't eat the Oreos. They'll want the Oreos. They'll be crazy. It's going to be bad. Hide the Oreos." So I picked up the Oreos, and I was going to go move them. But before I did that, I opened them. And you know those big islands you have in the kitchen sometimes? We had one of those. And so I hid behind the island, and I started cramming those Oreos in my mouth. And Bill's like, "What are you doing?" "I'm eating Oreos." So he came over and we're hiding behind there. We're eating the Oreos. The kids are like, "What are you guys doing in there?" "Nothing. We're not doing anything." And so from then on, until my husband passed away 2 years ago, until he passed away, we always had Oreos in our bedroom because that was our special treat. But anyway, it was a lot of fun sharing a lot of memories. That's one of my mom fails. I should have just let them have the Oreos. And now that they're all grown up, there are times when I think all of us that are older and our children are gone, we wish we'd have just let them have the Oreos. So keep that in mind, young moms. We're going to read today from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This book was primarily written to the church of Ephesus that was being attacked by false teachers. So would you stand for the reading of the word? "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I loved the song that you sang this morning about belonging. I belong. I had not heard that song before. But I feel like all of us have a deep longing to belong. We wait for invitations. How many of you wait for the little ding on your phone to let you know someone's trying to get in touch with you? the little text ding, you know. I confess that if I post something on Facebook, I watch carefully to see how many people like it. Does anybody else do that? You people are not telling the truth. I think belonging helps us define who we are. It helps us define where we're going. And God's word is powerful in that it speaks to us about belonging. So if you look at chapter 3, verse 1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Lavish. When I think of lavish, I think of a lot, just overflowing, pouring out all over. And he lavishes his love on us. And I think sometimes we forget to own that message. We forget to remember that we belong to the living King. We're children of God. We need to remember who we are. We need to remember that we belong. John deals with some of these issues that we struggle with from time to time. He says, if you belong to God, if you are in Christ, that is who you are. We have the right to become children of God. We've been adopted into God's family, and we're much loved. Maybe you have a truckload of stuff in your past that has weighed you down in guilt and shame and regret, but God's word clearly says, to all who have received and believed in him, these are the children of God. In September, it'll be 20 years since we adopted our children. When Bill and I married, Bill had a daughter that was 3, and she was 18 when the other children came into the family. And at the time they came, they were labeled foster children. And there was a long process that we had to go through and lots of hoops. If any of you have adopted ever, you know that there's just a lot that goes into that process. And so they lived with us for a year before their adoption was actually finalized. And the judge brought us in, he asked us a lot of questions, and the social workers talked a lot, and they asked us questions as adoptive parents. And in our mind, they'd already been ours for a year. So from the moment they came home with us, they were family to us. So this was just a formality for Bill and I. However, we weren't legally a family until the judge said that we were legally a family. So we answered all the questions, and then I didn't know this was going to happen. He looks at the children and he says, do you want these people to be your parents? He probably said it more formally than that, but that was what I heard. Do you want to go home with them? And immediately Bill and I were looking at each other, remembering all the times we'd hid the Oreos. We're remembering all the times that we said no, no electronics, no Oreos. We're remembering all those things and wondering what our children were going to say. We knew that we wanted to be family, and we knew that we already felt like we were their parents, but they also had to choose us. And I think that's what belonging is all about. God chooses us. But we have an option whether we choose him. And I feel like when we are his children and have the right to be called sons and daughters of the living God, why would we not choose him? He's calling us to him, but we have to say yes. The next verse says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In other words, we're going to start to become like him. So our children, as I said, were adopted. But you know, the longer you live together, sometimes I guess you start to look like each other. Because people still say to me all the time, Katie looks just like you. We just smile. Thanks. And Bill used to take Kevin to the store, and people would say, oh, to Kevin, you look just like your dad. And he would just beam. We all knew that we weren't related by blood, but when other people would look at us, they knew that we belonged together. What's ahead for us as children of God? I heard Pastor Troy praying today for some of you that have lost a loved one recently. Do you ever think about, well, what's ahead for them? What happens next? There's so many things that we don't know about that space and time between now and when the Lord returns. I feel like there's just a lot of unknown there. But how many times in the scripture do they talk about the kingdom of God and eternity? And whatever our human expectations are, God will surpass all of our expectations. It's kind of like those northern lights that everybody's been looking at this week. Troy took Kim and I out last night so we could see the northern lights. It's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And whatever my expectations were, it was different than my expectations. Looking through Troy's phone, I could see all the beautiful colors and all the things that were there. God's kingdom will be like that. It will defy all of our expectations. And here's my favorite part. It says that when he appears, we will be like him. We will see him as he is. Verse 3 says, all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Verse 4 says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Okay, so when I read that, I'm thinking, everyone who sins breaks the law. There's 613 laws in the Old Testament. Which one's he talking about? What law is he talking about? Which one's the most important? You can talk back. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. I feel like we need to say that more. As I look at my own church, we're in a very low income area of Nampa, and a big portion of what we do at our church is love our neighbors that are right around us. And I think that's what he's talking about. Love your neighbor, love your neighborhood. And whenever we act out of any other motive but love, then we're not responding as children of God. Now, sometimes your neighbor might be cranky, or your neighbor, you might not like your neighbor. Maybe they don't like you. I don't know. But we want to love our neighbors. I think it means our literal neighbor, but I also think it's talking about the world around us, those who are close to us, and that we have a responsibility to love them and act as if we are children of God. So moving on to John, 1 John 3:5, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sin, and in him there is no sin. Jesus came so that we could be forgiven of our sins and so that we could become more and more like him. Working through 1 John, I've been working through 1 John myself. And knowing that he was writing to Ephesus, who was being attacked by the false teachers, the Gnostics were saying that your spirit could be connected to God, but since your body is already evil, you might as well do whatever you want with it. Okay, how many of you have heard that out in the world? We hear, you might as well just do whatever you want, because whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And John is saying that's not the way it works. You can't claim to be connected to God and then go do whatever you want to do. Now, I'm leaving town after this, so I can say that. It's a reality, but sometimes it's hard for us to kind of comprehend. We love the Lord, but do we have to do all this stuff? Do we have to live this kind of life? And basically the scripture is saying, yes, you do. You have to. You can't claim to be connected to God and then do whatever you want to do. Verse 6 says, no one who lives in him keeps on what? Do you remember? Sinning. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. And since Jesus said the most important thing is for us to love God and love people, what is it in your own life that might be unloving to those around you? Are you unloving to God in some of your choices? Are you unloving to those around you? We can't camp out there and have a relationship with God. If we're connected to Him, our actions, the way we live our life, the way we love others, the way we treat people, will also be connected to Him. If we want to be in a right relationship, that's what we have to do. John makes it clear that we can't claim to be connected to God and continue to sin, pretending like it doesn't matter. If we're living a life of holiness, if we're connected to God, we don't keep on sinning. We don't want to keep on sinning. Now, are we perfect? Nazarenes? No, not perfect. But we continue to walk that journey of doing what we can to be honoring and to be connected to God. In verse 7, it says, "Dear children, don't let anybody lead you astray. He who does right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil." When we belong to Him, we live by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're able to be holy because He is holy. I'm so grateful that it's not all up to me. I have my part. I must do my part. But God is there. He is holy. And when I journey with Him, He will walk with me. He will help me. Verse 9 says, "No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them." So as I think about that, I kind of think of that like God's DNA. God's DNA is in me. And that's why I don't have to live a life of sin. John is saying holiness matters. Prayerfulness matters. Compassion for your brothers and your sisters, it matters. And this is how the children of God live life. Now, I went to the Northwest District Nazarene Assembly, District Assembly, a couple weeks ago. And my daughter went with me. My 29-year-old daughter went with me. And I had was packing in a hurry and just kind of shoved my dress into the suitcase. And when I got to the hotel, it was wrinkled. So I hung it up. And I had this stuff, and it was called wrinkle resistant. So you spray it. It's like magic, girls. You need to get it if you haven't ever used it. So I hang up my dress. I'm spraying the wrinkle stuff all over my dress. And I come back a half an hour later, and all the wrinkles are gone. It's like magic. And as I was doing that, I was thinking, wouldn't that be awesome if we could like have a sin-resistant spray? We could just spray that all over us and we would resist sin at every turn. I thought it would be so easy. But God is saying, I don't think God necessarily wants our journey to be easy. I think that the Holy Spirit wants us to continually be working to be more like Jesus, to live more like Him, and it's not going to be easy. I want to be sin resistant, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect. But it does mean that I want to live my life more and more like Jesus. Holiness matters to me. I don't want to be a slave to sin. I want to live a holy life with the Lord, and I don't have to do it alone. Now, when I think of holiness, I think that's kind of a word that just, spiritual stuff just oozes out of that word holiness. When you hear it, I think about spiritual things. But it is also very practical. We have to continue to work daily to do those practical things that keep us holy, whether it's reading our Bible, having our prayer time, renewing our minds. We have to continue to feed the truth into our brain, continue to renew our minds and remind ourselves that we belong to the family of God. We are children of God. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We belong to Him. The moment we are born of God, we become a new creation, and in Christ, and our identity changes. We're rescued and transferred into Christ's kingdom of life. I got that from a book. I thought it was really good. I'm going to read it again. The moment we are born of God, we become a new creation in Christ, and our identity changes. We are rescued and transformed into Christ's kingdom of light. You're now a child of God. You belong in His family. When you think of belonging, if you think of your own family and belonging in your family, and what goes along with that? There's responsibility that goes along with belonging in the family, isn't there? There's hard work that goes along with belonging in the family. Sometimes there's pain in belonging in the family. And sometimes the joy just bubbles up. You can't hardly stand it because we belong. The same is true with our journey with Christ. There are times in the journey where we experience pain. There are times when we experience great joy because we belong to the family of God. And I think in journeying with Him, it's always important for us to remember that the pain and the hard times don't mean that He's left us or that we're on our own. It's just a part of navigating the life that we live in today. And navigating it without Jesus Christ and without the Holy Spirit feels impossible to me. Therefore, our responsibility in belonging also goes to reaching out and going to those who are outside of these walls, those people who don't have a place to belong, and bringing them in to belonging. I was reading your bulletin, and I was looking at the stuff out in your foyer, and it appeared to me that you're a congregation who likes to be in the community and help your community. And I hope that you'll continue to do that. Our power comes when we continue to renew our minds in what is true about us in Christ, to know who we are in Him. He is your life. His language should be our language. His way of doing life should be our way of doing life. The love of God has been lavished on us. And now we are children of God. Renew your mind daily. So belonging to God's family is who we are, and belonging to God defines who we are. Belonging to Him defines where we're going. In John's Gospel 14:2, it says, "In my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you to be where I am." In other words, you belong. I'm just going to share a little bit about my life in the last few years. My husband had pancreatic cancer. He was diagnosed in 2019. They gave him about 5 months to live. We got 2.5 years out of that. And I remember as we went through that process and we knew that when we got to the point where we knew he wasn't going to be living a lot longer, we were trying to figure out what to do. And I went through a little bit of a crisis of, where am I going to belong? What church, you know, wants a 63-year-old lady who's done everything in the church, but I was kind of the jack of all trades, master of none. I'd done worship, children, youth, old people, young people, babies. And I had always belonged somewhere because of Bill. He was the pastor, and so I always had jobs to do. I always had things to do. I always had kind of a, I don't know what you would call it, sort of an automatic place of belonging. I just could plug right in. And so I was having a bit of a personal crisis because I felt like I'm not going to belong anywhere. And so whole sequence of events that happened, but my pastor at Lakeview found out that I was feeling that way. His mother-in-law was my best friend, so he found out that I was feeling that way. So he gave me a call and he said, I have a job for you. I can't pay you, but I can give you a house. You can have the parsonage. Well, I didn't need the money so much. What I really needed was a place to live. So I was like, you know, I thought that was wonderful. I said, thank you so much. And he said, well, I've got some things I want you to do. And I was like, well, what is that? Do you want me to clean the church? Do you want me to call on the people that can't get out? What do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to take all of my interns, because he really loves to bring in interns from Northwest Nazarene University, and give them a place to serve. And they learn stuff. And he said, but they need corralling. And he said, I don't have time to corral all the interns. So I would like for you to just work with all the interns. So let me tell you what that includes. I buy them a lot of food. I pray over them a lot. Sometimes I have to kind of kick them a little bit in the seat of the pants to get them like motivated and to do stuff. But there are times when your age becomes a really good thing for you, because I'm kind of like their grandma and they don't want to tell me no. Who wants to tell their grandma no? They don't want to tell me no, and they don't want to say, I'm not going to do that. So, you know, we have this thing where we bring them in, we grow them up, and then we send them out. And so I have been there long enough now that we've brought some in and grown them up and sent them out a couple of times. And now I'm kind of starting with a brand new crop. But part of my job is to help them belong to the family, belong to the community, to belong to the bigger community of ministers for the kingdom of God, not just for our little church, but for God's church, for the kingdom church. Okay, so I think your pastor may look at you that way a little bit. He probably doesn't kick you in the seat of the pants like I do the interns. But I have an idea. He wants to bring you in and grow you up and send you out to minister to your community and to bring in those who have no place to belong. I love your pastor. Sometimes I think churches don't always know what they have in a pastor, but you got a really good one. And Kim, she puts up with him. Such a privilege for me to be in their home last night. But just in closing today, I just want to remind you to love your parsonage family, to find the needs that they have in their life and help to meet those as your pastor tries to meet the needs in your life. And remember always that belonging is the goal. We want to belong together, but we never want that circle to become so tight that there's not room for those that are outside these walls that feel an intense need to belong somewhere. And they'll find a place to belong. May not be a good place, or may not be a spiritual place. Be the place where they can belong. Let's pray together. I am so grateful, Lord, to just be able to be in this congregation today and to worship with them and to sing with them and pray. And Lord, I just ask that you will bless this congregation as they impact their community for you through all of the things that they are doing, their Compassion Center. Lord, I just pray that you will bless them, that you will honor their commitment to you. I pray that you won't let their fire to go out, that they will continue to be energized, Lord, to go out and find those who do not belong and bring them to a place of belonging to you and belonging in community. Lord, I pray for Troy and Kim. I just ask that you will give them strength and wisdom. I pray that you will give them the vision to do the things that you would like for this congregation to accomplish through you and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't go alone, Lord, and we just praise you for that. I thank you for those that you have brought to walk alongside Kim and Troy in leadership. I pray that you will be with them. May each person that attends here find your love, connection with you, connection with the body, and connection with the community. And we pray all these things in your wonderful name. Amen.